Well, I guess we don't have many mountains around here, but I do think we should be telling people about Jesus Christ being born, that's for sure. So let's get our Bibles open tonight to the book of John, chapter number 15. John, chapter number 15. I had mentioned this morning that the title or the thought behind the sermon today was going to be How to Have a Great Christmas. And, you know, I told you it wasn't going to teach you holiday tricks and decorating things, but instead, we're going to look into the fact that how we can have a joyful life. You hear people say, you know, have a Merry Christmas, and they're talking about having something that is delightful and something that is lively. But how to have a great Christmas. And I guess before you can answer that question or that thought is, what does it mean to have a great Christmas? And I think that means different things to different people. I know this morning's story was fictitious, but you think about it, those kids that were helping somebody else and that learned is more blessed to give than to receive, they said this, you know, this is best Christmas ever. This is the greatest Christmas. And it's amazing how some people who do not have much that can celebrate Christmas with the right spirit and have a great Christmas, but then there's others that have so much and just not thankful and not with the right spirit have a miserable Christmas. So for Christians, the way to have a great Christmas is the one to be, I think there's a key here, there's a connection that we're going to find here and we're going to look at a little bit. So what makes a great Christmas for you? Is it getting to spend time with your family? I know for some of you, that's yes, that's the answer. And for some of you, it's great when you don't have to spend time with your family. So sometimes it's getting the gift you really wanted. Sometimes if the Christmas dinner turns out just right, then it was a great Christmas. Sometimes if it's your sports team that wins on TV, it's a great Christmas. But when you go back to the first Christmas story, many of those, if not all the Bible characters that were worshiping the Lord, did not have really convenient type circumstances. Mary and Joseph making that long trek while she was pregnant, finding coming to Bethlehem and seeing that there was no place for them in the inn, and having the baby and all those different things. You could spend lots of time discussing how difficult it must have been, but I think they had a wonderful Christmas. Even think about the wise men, and once again, I know the wise men more than likely came later on, but that long travel, that long trek, then going to the palace and then going, you know, you would think that they had a wonderful Christmas. You think about the different characters that are found in the Bible, many of the circumstances that went around them wasn't something that you would look at and say, wow, that's a great Christmas. That's a Christmas I want to have every year. But the difference about it is that they had joy and they were at peace because they were obedient. Here in John chapter number 15, I think there's a connection here. I think obedience is the key to having a great Christmas. I tell you, one of the most miserable times in my life is when I'm trying to serve God but not being obedient to Him. The guilt that's there, the Holy Spirit's presence that's convicting you of sin. You know, no matter what day of the year is, it could be your birthday, it could be Christmas, you could get all the different things, but if you're not living for the Lord or you're disobedient to God, it can make yourself very, very miserable. And there is many people today that are disappointed and unhappy and sad and remorseful. And all those different long lists that Christmas time is supposed to be a joyous time of celebration, but there are some that are miserable that day. And if they're believers, the reason why sometimes they're miserable, if not more often, is because they know they're not living the way they're supposed to. And what we're going to look at tonight in these first Christmas, there was a number of times that you see Mary and you see Joseph and you see the wise men following instructions that probably weren't the easiest to follow. But the one thing that's the overwhelming theme that I saw this year as studying through the Christmas stories, they were obedient. They listened. And I think when we're obedient and we're right with the Lord, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. We can still have a wonderful, great, whether it be Christmas or even whatever day of the week it is or any day of the year, if we would learn to be obedient. Listen to what some of these verses say here first in John chapter 15. Look what it says in verses 10 and 11. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, I know that these are just two verses that we chose because of the specificness of remaining joyful and having Christ's joy in you. But it is something that is tied back to verse number 10. It says, if you keep my commandments. But then if you talk about the fellowship that's found in verses 1 through 9 about abiding in him, if you really want to have a great Christmas this year, I think one of the most important things you could do is to make sure your heart's right with God and make sure that you are submissive to him. Sort of like what Mary said, be it according to thy word. And when she found out she was having this baby, found out all the things that are going on, she's like, how in the world is this going to happen? And then she says, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be according to thy word. And we're going to look at that in a little bit. But think about this. Can you remember the last time you felt tempted to do the opposite of what you knew God desired you to do? One preacher put it this way. Most likely a struggle erupted within your heart. The question arose, will obeying God cost me more than disobeying him? Can I experience greater happiness by committing this sin than I would by obeying God? When we choose to obey God, we take the way of wisdom. His promises of blessing for obedience far outweigh any possible consequences. He asks us to submit ourselves to him and leave whatever happens to his loving care. You know, there is a struggle that battles within us between our old fleshly nature and our spiritual side, the fleshly side versus spiritual side. And it is a miserable life for a believer and a Christian to be living a life that's full of sin. If you can live a life and never feel conviction of sin, I think you need to go back and see whether or not you truly ever accepted Christ as your personal Savior. And now I understand people do backslide, and I understand there is issues and problems there. But there is a difference between just saying a few words to somebody to make somebody else happy, be truly putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Let's look at a couple passages of scriptures. I'm just going to read these for the sake of time, and you can get your Bibles over to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1 while we read some of these passages of scriptures. First thing I want you to think about is the joy and delight that comes with the law of God. Psalms 1:2 talks about the blessed man. Where is his delight in? We're talking about delighting in the Lord. One of the things we need to learn to delight in is, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The Bible says in John 13:17, after Jesus had given them a picture of washing the disciples' feet, and you know what he said to them? He said, if ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. He's saying, you're going to be happy if you learn to do the things that I show you and taught you. And he just washed the disciples' feet. And I don't think many people would be signing up for that unless they realize, hey, this is what God wants me to do. Proverbs 28, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Think about this. He says, if you cover up your sins, you're not going to prosper. But you will find mercy when you confess them and forsake them. And he says, the person that's truly going to be happy, the person who's truly going to be merry, is one that feareth always. But him that hardeneth his heart is going to fall into mischief. Psalms 128, verses 1 and 2 says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shall thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Happy you'll be if you'll learn to follow and do the Lord's will. Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Proverbs 16:20, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth the Lord, happy is he. If you continue to look at it, if you really truly want to have a happy Christmas, a merry Christmas, a great Christmas, there is truth that's found in this connection. If you'll keep God's commandments, then he says that the joy that he has will remain in you and your joy will be full. There is a connection that's there of having a joyful Christmas is by being obedient to him. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You see through many of these verses, he says, happy are ye if you do them. If you know the truth, you know the word of God, you will be happy and you'll be joyful. You say, Pastor, you know, what does that have to do with being having a Merry Christmas? It has everything to do with it. As you're going to see in these circumstances that they come across these first century Christmas characters, many of their circumstances were definitely something that we would not desire for ourselves or desire for our friends. But they were something that could be joyful and something that they could rejoice in. And you'll see what their response is. That is one of worship. They see Christ and they see what he's done. So how to have a great Christmas is by being obedient and submissive to the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll jump right into some of these Bible characters. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight and I thank you for your word. I know sometimes it's hard to believe because of how strong our flesh pulls against it, but we will find happiness and joy when we follow your commandments. To the world, that makes no sense. But to a Christian that abides in you, to a Christian that wants to be close to you, to a Christian that understands the joy that you've placed inside of him with the Holy Spirit, that not only can our joy remain when we are following and when we're obedient, but our joy can be full. I know a joyful person is a person that will have a great Christmas. Lord, help us to see these things tonight. Help us as we look at these characters, put yourself inside their shoes and see their responses. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's go to Luke chapter number 1. Maybe you're already there. Luke chapter number 1, the angel comes to Mary and says to Mary, you're going to have a child. Look, it says in Luke chapter 1, verse number 28, some great verses, but we're going to read through pretty quickly. And it says, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner salutation this should be. So she's there, and she's troubled about the appearance of this angel, and she doesn't understand what's being said. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? So most of us understand these verses. They know what's going on here. She says, How in the world is that going to happen? And there's things that are coming to her mind. And she said, verse 35, And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. In verse number 27, the angel says, For with God nothing shall be impossible. I like that verse. Mary hears the truth. She hears the instructions. Look at her response. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Isn't that beautiful? I don't know about you. She's saying, Hey, look, Lord, that's what you want. That's what I want to do. Be it unto me according to thy word. I'm willing to sign up for whatever you say. She's saying, I'm willing to accept it. So, well, that means she's going to have a miserable life. That means she's going to have a bad response. That means things aren't going to work out the way they're supposed to. Well, look just a short time later what it says in verses 46 and 47. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. She's saying, look, my soul is magnifying the Lord, is lifting up the Lord, and I am rejoicing. She has just found out something, and this is exciting, yes, but this has complications, this has issues, this has problems. What's Joseph going to think? What's my parents going to think? What's everyone else going to think? The circumstances were not idea in her mind. Well, what is she saying? Be unto me according to thy word. I'm willing to be obedient. And when she's willing to be obedient, she's going to become joyful because she understands she's left everything in God's hands and she's going to let God work out everything and she is just going to do what God's called her to do. If we truly want to have a great Christmas, and you see this in some of the stories, these first century Christian Christmas characters were people who were obedient. Let's consider Joseph for a few minutes. Go to Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1, Joseph's there, and he has not known his wife in a physical relationship or in a marital way, and now he has found out she's pregnant, and he's considering what he should do. Now, he has some choices. He could have her stoned to death. He could put her away privately. He could still take her as a wife. And here, as is a saying in Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 20, we see the angel comes to Joseph as he's thinking about these things. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. for he shall save his people from their sins. I love that line. He shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken to the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till he had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And what you see here in the story, this is a hard choice, this is a tough decision to see what was going to happen. And what happens? It says that when he wakes up in verse number 24, what he said, he did exactly what the Lord had bidden him. He took him unto him his wife, and knew her not until the time had been for all, until the child was brought forth. You say, so what are you saying? I'm saying you look at Joseph here, and he does what the angel says. He obeys. You say, of course he does. Doesn't ever? Do you? Do we always obey? I think sometimes the reason why a Christian is miserable, the reason why a Christian has a bad attitude, the reason why a Christian is struggling is because of the fact that they're disobedient. Not all the time. I understand that. There are times where there's some, you know, hard, heavy, satanic attacks, and sometimes things are struggling, but we can always rejoice in the Lord. But many times the struggle we have as a Christian is something that we bring upon ourselves because we hear what the Bible says, we hear what God is trying to say, we know what the guidelines are, we know what the rules are, we know what's supposed to be, but we choose to do something different. We know we're supposed to be obedient. We know we're supposed to be witnesses. We know we're supposed to pray. We know we're supposed to study the Bible. We know all these things. We have so much head knowledge, but we're not fulfilled in our Christian lives, and there's nothing that is merry about our Christian lives. It's because we struggle about, am I going to get more satisfaction out of disobeying and sinning, or am I going to get more satisfaction out of serving the Lord? But what the scripture says, that if we follow his commandments, like I said in John chapter 15, the key and the connection is if I follow his commandments, the joy that is his joy, the Holy Spirit of God. Remember, the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy. The joy that he puts inside of us will remain in there. And not only will it remain, it will be full. But the problem is so many times we don't live according to the Spirit. We don't aren't obedient. So the joy that is supposed to be in our hearts and lives is pushed down. Now, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us, so it's there, but it's hidden. It's hidden amongst all the disobedience. Let's keep on going. Look at another Bible character. Let's look at the wise men for a second. Consider the wise men. Go to Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2, for the sake of time, we read the story a little bit this morning, but the wise men were told to do something also. Look what it says in verse number 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So they saw it. They went to the palace. They'd gone to the palace. And now they found out he was going to be in Bethlehem. When they start beginning to follow the way they're supposed to go, the star reappears. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they would not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. What do you see them doing here again? They're being obedient. They go and they travel and they follow the star. They do what they think God wants them to do in following the star. They look at the old scriptures. They see the old scriptures. They understand the star. They know it's connected with a king. It's connected with the Messiah, that they go there and they present it. And they make this long travel. They follow the leadership there, I believe, of the scriptures, of the old scriptures. And now they've done that. And now God appears to them, or an angel appears and says, hey, look, don't go back. So what do? They leave. They follow his wife. And now, once again, these are, we call them wise men. These are kings. These are intelligent people. And they could have said, hey, no, I know this. I told Herod, he's a king. I'm going to go tell him. No, they listen to God. And you say, Pastor, I'm not picking up what you're trying to say. Well, it's because they were obedient. How about in our lives? What is it in our lives that we're not being obedient about? What is it in our lives that we are saying, I'd rather do this than to be obedient to God? Because that is a formula, a recipe for a very miserable day. No matter how much celebration that could be going on. It was nice. I enjoyed the program Saturday. I enjoyed the program Sunday. And people, you know, especially on Saturday night, people were laughing as much more and they were enjoying it. But you know, that you look around the room and there's a few people that are miserable. It amazes me sometimes that you can sit there and have people have the joy of the Lord and things are going well and that everything's got, and then some people that are just miserable and they just don't look happy. There's no joy in their heart. There's no joy in their life. And it's not because they disagree with something that's going on. It's because there's something going on in their heart that's wrong. They cannot rejoice. All they can do is complain. They cannot be excited because of the fact that they can't see what God may be trying to do. Instead, there's something that's breaking up in their own heart and breaking up inside their own life that's like, oh, I can't be happy. Because where is happiness found? There's a connection of the joy that's found with keeping the commandments of God. Let's look at Simeon. You know, Simeon is one of my favorite Christmas characters, and I know it was a few days after Christmas, but I really like the story of Simeon. And I remember here in Luke chapter number 2, we see Simeon and the story that's going on here. Let's go here to verse number, it's because I'm in Matthew. We got to go back to Luke. Luke chapter number 2, I was going to say it's verse number 25, but there is no 25 in Matthew 2. So take your Bible to Luke chapter 2. Look here what it says in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. Now, this man is known for being a good man. He is just and he is devout, which means he has a good upstanding in society, but he also is just before the Lord in the things he does. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit of God led him. The Holy Spirit of God did not pick him up and throw him in the temple. He had a leading of the Holy Spirit, and he followed the leading. He obeyed the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it comes on and it says, and when the parents brought in a child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of all, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And he begins to just praise the Lord. Now, we say, what's the difference? It's he is being led by the Holy Spirit of God. He's following. And so I tell you, you know, what if Simeon wouldn't listen to the Holy Spirit that day? Would he not have had a chance to see the babe? Would he not have had a chance to rejoice with Mary and Joseph? Remember, God had told him he was going to get to see the child. You're missing something if you don't understand that because he was faithful, because he listened to God, because he was obedient, he had a blessing. And you see the joy that was there and the enthusiasm and the praise that happened and the worship that happened because he was being faithful to God. He was following the Lord's leadership. One of the most miserable things in the world is God prompts you to do something, you don't do it. I don't know about you, but I'm miserable for a little while until I get it right, until I finally say, okay, God, I'll go talk to that person. Okay, God, I'll give out that track. Okay, God, I'll take care of the situation because I want to follow the leadership of the Lord. But when I don't, the joy's gone. It's sucked out. And there's more characters. You think about Zacharias. He rejoiced when he named John. You know, when John got the name John, his tongue was loose, and what did he do? He praised God. I think about Anna and her testimony about always doing those things in the temple. And I believe if we truly want to have a great Christmas, I believe there's a secret here. And it goes back to John chapter 15, is that we need to be willing to say, okay, Lord, just like Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. Whatever it is, Lord, that you want me to have, whatever it is that you want me to be a part of, whatever it is you want me to go through, be it unto me according to thy word. And I think that's when joy happens. Listen once again to John 15, verses 10 and 11. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And once again, there is the connection, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full, might be full. You say, well, how could Mary be so joyful when her world was really turned upside down? God was using her. She was giving God glory. By this, the Messiah was being born and was being introduced to the world for the Savior, and she realized that he was going to be her Lord. And it's because she realized God was doing something. if we learn to be obedient to God and say, okay, God, I don't understand all the circumstances. And I'm sure Mary said, well, how's this going to be? I know not a man. You know, she heard that, hey, with everything, you know, there's nothing that's impossible to God. She says, okay, I get it. I'm nothing but a servant. Be unto me according to thy word. I don't understand all that you're going to do, Lord. I don't understand all that's going on here, but be unto me according to thy word. And she brought honor and glory to God by her actions. Same thing with Joseph. Same thing with the wise men. Same thing with Simeon. You know, they were all rejoicing. They were all giving. They were all sacrificing. Why is that? It's because they learned how to be obedient. And maybe you're always obedient, but I know some of the most miserable times in my life is when I've chosen to do things my own way. Is when I've chosen to say, okay, God, I know what you want me to do, but I'm going to do it different. And I want to encourage you, if you really want December 25th to be the greatest it can be this year, make sure your heart's right with God. And say, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. I am willing to do and be whatever you want me to. When I'm visiting my family, when I'm opening my presence, when I'm not getting me my presence, whatever it is that you are going on in your life, I'm not trusting myself and not trusting in other people. Because when I trust in other people, sometimes I'm disappointed. This verse earlier says, happy is he that trusteth in the Lord. I'm just trusting that God's going to take care of all the things. Mary didn't have to figure it all out. Of course, there was details Mary had to figure out, but Mary didn't have to figure out, okay, I'm supposed to be in Bethlehem. How am I going to get there? I wonder what Joseph's going to think. You know, she left it all over to God. And I see so many Christians today that are miserable. I mean miserable. There is no love. There is no joy. The fruits of the Spirit are not showing through in their lives. And something's missing. And even though we can have a portion of happiness by outward circumstances, of course, if the meal's good, things are going to be a little bit better. And of course, if you get something that you really desired, of course, there's going to be a little bit of happiness. But that only lasts for a little while. True happiness is found in serving the Lord. Now, those verses we read earlier, if they're true, which we believe they are, happiness and joy is connected with being obedient to God. His delight is in the law of the Lord. If we're going to delight in the law, Lord, we're going to have to delight in his law. And if we will learn to be obedient, I believe is the connection that we need to have in order to have a great Christmas season. December 25th, it starts in just a few days. But if we truly want to be ready for it, it's not about all the presents. It's not about all the preparations. If we really, truly want it to be great, it starts in our heart by being submissive and saying, I'm not going to let anybody rob my joy. This is a time to celebrate Christ. I'm going to make sure my heart is right, and I'm going to be obedient and submissive. And like Mary, I'm going to say, be it unto me according to thy word. Like Joseph, I'm going to get up and do his bidding. Like the wise men, when I'm given instruction, I'm going to go. Joseph the same way. Two other times Joseph was warned, hey, you need to go to Egypt. He went to Egypt. Later on, hey, you need to go to this place. He was warned by an angel. More times, what does he do? He obeys. And what do you see out of that? You see the results. God gets the glory of it. And usually, if you read some of those things, it says it was fulfilled out of the scriptures. It was fulfilled that he was supposed to be born in Bethlehem. It was fulfilled that he was supposed to be called out of Egypt. It was fulfilled that he was supposed to be a Nazarene. It happened every single time the way the Bible said it was supposed to, because he said, I'm going to be obedient. Time and time again, God gets glory when his children are obedient. If you truly want to have a great Christmas, let's obey the Lord. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.